I have a burden on my heart this morning. It's not a message of healing. This is a healing. But I think every message is a message of healing, isn't it? Whether it heals our body or heals our mind, our heart, or our soul. So I want you to pray for me. The Lord will bless this little message. I desire your prayers. When I got here, after the first, I think it was the very first service, I was sitting in my little spot, and after the service, a brother came up to me, and he said, "You remember me?" I said, "No." He said, "I met you in Canada." Well, I haven't been to Canada 30, 35 years. He said, "Well, I met you there," and he said, "You've changed." And I said, "Well, I hope it was a good change." He said, "Back then you were full of pride." I said, "You're right. I was. But I didn't know it." How come everybody can see us before we see ourselves? I can't explain it. I don't know why. I remember my daughter one time, something happened. We were visiting there and something was said and something happened. My daughter looked at me. She said, "Dad, you've really mellowed out in your old age." I said, "No, honey." I said, "God has done work on your dad. God has blessed us with riches." I was talking to my brother the other day. He said, "Brian," he said, "I think we've lived in the greatest time that the world has ever seen. We're going downhill now." Yeah. Why? Because we're getting away from the Word of God. Can God bless us when we take Him out of our schools? When we take Him out of our places of business? Take Him out of the government? When we say there's a separation of church and state, our judicial system has turned the truth of what our forefathers meant. And I think about, let's go back 100, 150 years ago. A little town would be established out west, and what was the first building that they would build? It was generally a church that the community would come together. They'd build their houses, then they would build that church. They want a place to meet, and the government business was taken care of there in the church. And where do the children go to school? In the church. But now we've gotten smarter, more educated, intellectual. We got to get the church out. And when we take the church out, we take God out. And what are we left with? Lord, help us. Turn with me to Luke, the 9th chapter. Once again, I desire your prayers. The Lord will bless and bring these thoughts together. You know, I don't know how other ministers do it. But when I get in this pulpit, I don't know what I'm going to say. I got a few scriptures written down. And I remember one of the young Russian brothers come to me and he said, "Can I see your notes?" "Well, yeah, here." And he said, "Well, those are just scriptures." "Yeah, I just write down scriptures." "You mean you don't write down thoughts?" "And all, well, once in a while I'll put a little story or something." "But no, it's just..." He told me, he said, "I misjudged you. I thought you Americans, you wrote it all out and you got up and just preached from a piece of paper." I said, "No, that's not the way it works. We're depending on the Lord. This isn't my word, it's His. Lord, help us." 9th chapter, I want to begin at the 51st verse. "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord. Now, this is James and John. Isn't John the one that used to lay his head on the Lord's chest? And when he went places, oftentimes he took Peter, James, and John. They were very close to him. They were very intimate with their Lord and Savior. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Isaiah did? That's quite a question, isn't it? Now, these men were close. That intimate relationship that they had. I mean, these men traveled together. They slept together. They ate together. They prayed together. And they listened and watched and what Christ taught them and the many miracles that he performed. How many at this time? I don't know. But I look at these scriptures and I think, Lord. And he turned after, shall we call down fire to consume them? And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirits ye are of. Oh my. Lord help us. All right, my question this morning. What spirit are you of? What spirit am I of? What spirit were these apostles that asked this question? What spirit were they of? It said he turned and he rebuked them. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Yesterday, I believe it was, one of the brothers was preaching, he said it. All that Christ went through, all that he suffered, he never once retaliated. I got a hold of that. That stuck with me. Our Savior, our example, the one that didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Every righteous and holy principle that was contained in the law, he lived it. Do we know what spirit we're of? I remember one time coming right here to this altar. This was years ago when I felt so inadequate within myself to go and deal with the soul at the altar. And I went down there to take that petition to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. It's too important. A soul is too valuable for me to go up there and hinder or hurt in any way. And the minister came up and he put his head against my head. I say that, you probably know who it was, you that have been dealt with him. And the best advice he gave me, he said, be gentle. We don't have the right to hurt anyone. Jesus never retaliated, and neither can we. This has been a good meeting, hasn't it? I've learned some things, and I've got a lot more to learn. Instruction that we've had in this meeting, right where we live, Lord, help us to put this to work. What spirit are you of? I ask myself, what spirit am I of? Man is made up of three parts, isn't he? Body, soul, and spirit. What spirit are we of? We were born with the Spirit. We see it in little children. Child throws that temper tantrum. Sometimes you got to give them a little paddle. Bible says to break that spirit. That's the spirit they're born with. But God has got a different spirit for you and I. We need to keep our spirit under control and manifest the Spirit of God. John, the 8th chapter. I want to begin at the 3rd verse. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. You know this story. You've heard it 1,000 times. I'm going to tell you what one of the things, one of my pastors, I've only had a few pastors, but this one pastor gave us some, you know, every once in a while you get those pearls. And they said, you know, you hear a message. You've heard it 1,000 times. But when it's anointed, it's brand new. So as I share this with you, you've heard this how many times? I'll probably not say anything that you haven't heard. But may the Holy Ghost touch you in a way that you've never been touched. Isn't that what we've come for? Isn't that what we've been asking? I remember a brother telling me not long ago, he said, there used to be, when the saints met together, an umbrella of conviction that would rest over our meetings. Used to. It's time to get it back. Yes. It's time to pray, Lord, yes. We want your spirit in a mighty way to rest upon us. Yes. An umbrella of conviction that anybody that comes on these grounds will fill it. Yes. When I first come amongst the saints, when I walked into their chapel, I felt something I'd never felt before. I didn't even know what it was. But I learned. It was conviction.
Yes.
And why? What was different? It's because those people had God living within their lives.
Yes.
And where they went, the power of God went with them.
Yes.
And when they got together, the power was overwhelming.
Yes.
Lord, we want it back.
Yes.
We want it all back. Anything that we've let slip, Lord, we want it back.
Yes.
And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I got a little trouble with that scripture. How? Did that happen? Well, I'm going to have to leave that alone. Where was the man? Lord, help us. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses said in the law, commanded us that we should... Let me read this. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? That's a spot to be put in, isn't it? You got a question asked of you, like, yeah, you better have some authority. In my trips to Russia and in Austria, we get pulled aside. And we get asked questions. Questions that are life-altering. Dear ones, we're leaving here in a few weeks to go back to Russia. We need your prayers. Because we don't have within us the knowledge to really deal with some of the situations that come, but the Lord does.
Yes, true.
The Lord that we serve and the Lord that we trust in,
yes,
He has the answers,
yes,
that we can give. And if He doesn't want us to get involved, pray that the Lord will keep us out,
yes,
of those situations.
Yes.
But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. Now, we can really speculate here, can't we? I've heard a lot of things be said, but none of it we can be sure about. But we know what, as the story goes on, what happened. And I think myself sometimes, I wonder what He was writing in the ground. You've heard that, right? Well, Frank's out there. And I know he's guilty of the same thing. Let me put Frank. Yes, man. And there's George. Well, yeah, George, he's got... If he never wrote a thing, the spirit of conviction was there, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because this was the Son of God.
Yes.
And He had a power and authority that came with Him. As the Savior of the world.
Yes.
So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground.
Yes.
He put it all right back on them, didn't he?
Yes, he
gave it all back to them. Okay, now it's in your court. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
That'll change everything, won't it?
Yes.
It's easy for us to look and judge and be critical of one another until it's pointed at you. Lord, help us. What spirit are we of? And they which heard it being convicted in their own conscience. Dear ones, how would you like to come into the presence of Jesus Christ? I can just imagine the emotions and the feelings that would run through us. We may not get in His presence in the spirit, in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, we surely can.
Amen.
And anyone that comes into His presence will be a changed person.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yes.
And they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. Why did it start with the oldest? More sins? Been out there in the world a lot longer? Got more to feel guilty of? I don't know. Or maybe just wisdom taught them. You know, experience, there's no substitute for experience. Maybe experience taught them it's a good time to leave. And they had heard it being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You know, dear ones, when it comes to coming before the Lord, we've got to be willing to come alone, don't we? Because really, we're going to stand alone. We're going to be judged on the life that we've lived. On what we're doing. And we're going to be alone. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? They were just there. What happened to them? You know, conviction is a powerful thing, isn't it? It'll move a man. You'll either go forward or you'll go backwards, but you're going to move. Conviction is a good thing. It's not very comfortable, but it's a good thing. Lord, give us more conviction. Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Oh, was she a happy woman? This is life and death. It's life and death. Oftentimes we come to God, it's life and death. Lord, help us. The importance of it. No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. She had broken God's laws. She had hurt his father. And she had hurt him. And yet his love and the spirit that he was of did not condemn her. But dear ones, I believe he was looking far beyond what he was seeing with his eyes and looking at her heart. He had the power to do that. I mean, she was ready to be stoned to death. If there was anybody who would beg for mercy, wouldn't it have been her? Sometimes we've got to get to a place where we've got to be desperate.
That's right. True.
She was desperate. The safety of our soul should drive us to desperation. God, I want this.
Yeah.
I want it with all of my very being.
Amen.
Jacob didn't let the angel go, did he?
No.
He was desperate.
Yeah.
Even when he crippled up and he couldn't move. I'll tell you about a bad hip. I can't do much anymore. But he refused to let go.
Amen.
No matter how bad the pain was, he wouldn't let go. He needed to be blessed. Dear ones, you need to be blessed. Get desperate. Get desperate. Neither do I condemn thee. He could have retaliated right then and said, You've hurt us. And now. But no. That isn't why he came. He was of a different spirit. Go. He released her. He said, Go. But he added, And sin no more. It's over. You come into the presence of the Savior. I see the anguish of your heart and of your mind. This was a life and death situation. But I forgive you. But now sin stops. Go. And sin no more. That's pretty definite, isn't it? But when you come into the presence of the Lord, that's what He instructs us. I'm willing to forgive you. And I'll love you. But now, go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When you come into his presence, there's a change. One way or another, there's going to be a change. In Genesis, the 12th chapter. And the third verse. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That was to Abraham. But does that apply to us today also? I'm claiming it. I'm claiming that. That's a promise for me. That if God be for me, who can be against me? And He's going to bless me and He's going to bless those around me. And He has proved it over and over again. And those that come against me, I don't have to worry about that. He said, I'll repay him. He's the Lord. He's the judge. He'll do His work and we'll do ours. Lord, help us. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5, begin at 38. He that hath, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. That was the old law, wasn't it? And that was the spirit of the old law. But I say unto you, it's in red, my Bible, it's in red. It's easy. This is Jesus. That's what Jesus is teaching. This is His doctrine for this time, this day of grace that you and I live in. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever hath smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's going to take a difference, isn't it? Going to make a difference. Isn't that going to take a change? The old man that I was would not have been able to turn the cheek. But now I'm learning how to turn the cheek. And it's not always because it's a physical slap. It's because we face things on the spiritual realm. Mental. Emotional. Lord, help us. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Have you learned to let people walk over you yet? That's coming too. Yes, Lord. They walked on him, didn't they? And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I learned something yesterday that I didn't know. That the Romans had the right and the power to force a Gentile or a Jew to carry their luggage for a mile. And Jesus says, don't stop at a mile, go two. Why? Because He wanted them to see something different. You know, when you're kind to people. Recently, I heard a man say that people will never remember what you said. People will never remember what you did. But they'll never forget how you made them feel. Dear ones, we don't have the right to hurt anyone. Go twain. Will that make a difference? Yes. The Lord would have never said it if it wasn't going to make a difference. Amen. Give him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good. and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's going to take a real change of heart, isn't it? You're going to have a different spirit. The world says, stand up for yourself. Don't let anybody walk on you. But that isn't what the Word of God says. This is radical, isn't it? Jesus taught a radical doctrine. Because it goes against our natures. And it's going to take the power of God to change our natures. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now here's what's the important part of this. That ye may be. What do you want to be? What spirit do you want to be of? Jesus said, you do this because that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the just, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Every child that's born and becomes a living soul belongs to God. And when he told me one day, I was meditating on the Lord, and he told me, I was down in my basement, and he told me, he said, you have no right to hurt my people. So I thought, well, who are your people? Every child that breathes the breath of life. Saint or sinner, they're all God's. We don't, Lord, you're telling, I'm telling you. These are mine. They're not your, they're mine. And you don't have the right to hurt anyone. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father. You want to be like your Father? These scriptures. Oh, it's hard. But God has got grace. I've learned that God has got grace for young women. He's got grace for young men. It isn't just for the old folks. You know, when you get old, you got to get a different kind of grace. Because you're going to go through different trials and different tests. When you get down to death's door, and I've been there now. We've been in Fresno for 6 years, and I think I've been to 7 funerals. And I've dealt with them. We're on their deathbeds. Yeah. It takes a different grace. But God has got what we need. A young minister asked me a question when I was in Austria a few years ago. He said, Brother Rich, can I talk to you? Sure. He said, I know of a situation where there's a young lady. It's being dealt with now. He said that she got married to a young man, and after a year, that young man decided he didn't want to be married, and he just left her. So here she is endeavoring to live for the Lord. She wants to live for God, but she wants a husband. She wants a family, and her husband has left her. She knows what the Bible teaches. She went to her pastor and said, what should I do? And the pastor said, go find another husband and have children. I'd rather you be with one man than a lot of men. How do you feel about that, Brother Rich? I said, that pastor just condemned her soul to hell and his own. That's a man that has no faith in God. Doesn't God have grace to keep her? Thank you. Yes, he does. Young men, strong and virile. God's got grace to keep you pure and holy too. Lord help us. Where was I at? I was where, 38? 48. Thank you. Be therefore perfect. We'd all like to be perfect. What does perfect mean here, used in this text? It means to be complete, finished. I've got what God wants me to have. And it doesn't stop there. There's more to come. Amen. But today, if I can think, Lord, I'm standing where you want me to stand. Right. I'm doing what you want me to do. We have a couple young brothers that just got saved right before we left. We hated to leave, but we'd already made plans. And two young men, I think one is 24 and the other is 20. And the one young man, the youngest one, he's been texting. He put a scripture on and he prayed for me. They're serious. They're serious. And this morning I wrote a text. Be strong. Stand for what you know is right. And God will be with you. He'll bless you. Thank you, Brother Rich. Just a little word. Sometimes that's all it takes, isn't it? You know, since I've come on to campgrounds, I've been getting these one-armed hugs. You know what a one-armed hug is? I say, oh no. I got to teach the saints how to hug? Why? Because I want to know that you love me and that I love you. I'm not going to give you can't lean back. No. Love me. And I want to love you. Isn't that what this is all about? Isn't that what the Word of God is all about? Luke, the 23rd chapter. Luke 23, and I want to begin at 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said to him, I send you without purse, without scrip. I know I don't want to go there. Am I in the right place? I guess that's where I've got to look here. 20. I'm in 22. There's my problem. I'm sorry. Dear ones, I'm fallible. Don't you follow Brother Rich. I can let you down. I've let myself down. You follow Jesus. You know something? I didn't introduce myself, did I? I'm Brother Brian Rich from Fresno, California. That's not even important. Jesus Christ. That's the name you need to know. All right, 23 of Luke, and I want to begin at 33. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of spirit does that take? Could we do that? Lord, help us. This is our example. This is our example. You know, at this time, at this place, many didn't know or understand. His disciples, his apostles, really still didn't really know or understand. But further on, we would know. They would know. And we would know. Why it took all of this, dear ones, because he wanted us to have a different spirit. Amen. Acts, the 6th chapter. I want to begin at the 9th verse. This is about Stephen. I think I'm going to start the 10th verse. This is about Stephen. Stephen was a man that was chosen to be one of the, deacons? And they instructed, they said, go out and choose you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He was numbered with them. And he got into a dispute. Maybe I better start. Let's go ahead and read the 9th. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which God in which he spake. How would you like to have that? You can have it. You can have it. God wants us to give us wisdom, power, a great and abiding peace to take us through this life. They were not able to resist the wisdom, the spirit with which he spake. They were stubborn men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against our God. And he stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they come upon him, caught him, and brought him to the council. And he set up false witnesses and said, this man ceaseth not to seek blasphemous words against that holy place, the law. You ever been accused falsely? Have you ever had to suffer that? We had a message right before we left the last day of our meeting there in Fresno. A young sister minister got up and preached on being falsely accused. She told how God brought her through that and what it took. And we began to realize the depths that God required of her. But she came through victorious. And it shone in her. It shone in her countenance. And it showed in her ministry. Lord, help us. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they come upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place. And the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. They got some of it right, didn't they? He was making big changes. He brought a new and wonderful salvation that they had never had up until then. Yep. He was going to destroy that old law and the ordinances thereof. Let me put it that way. Destroy the ordinances. Because the law was not able to change the heart, was it? But the blood of Jesus Christ could change the heart. And all that sat in the council looked steadfast on him and saw his face. It had been the face of an angel. Let's go to chapter 7, and I want to go to 55. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it, did they? That's what we have today. People that just don't want to hear it. I had a cousin one time. We were talking about the Word of God, and we got to a certain place, and they said, "No, I don't want to hear any more. Because if you tell me, then I'll be responsible for what I've heard. And so I don't want to hear any more. I want to continue to be in darkness." What do you do? Lord, help us. Help me again. Where was I? 56. And they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Yes. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin into the charge. Lay not this sin into the charge." What spirit are we of? Could we do this? Could our love for the lost and dying world override our physical suffering? "Lay not the sin unto their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a pretty way to say he died. He was killed. He fell asleep. Romans, the 12th chapter. And I want to read that, start at the 14th verse. "Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be ye of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much that lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Saint and sinner, all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord.'" That's his job. That's not ours. And he doesn't make any false judgments. There's one thing I can assure you, that God doesn't fail. He doesn't make the mistakes that you and I make. If someone's going to judge, let it be the Lord. Therefore, I tell you all this to bring it down to this place. This is what I want you to do. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Have any of you experienced this firsthand? I'm talking about the heaping coals. You ever had any coals heaped on you? I have. When my wife got saved, I wasn't saved. She started heaping coals. I don't even think she knew she was heaping coals. But they were falling on my head and it was burning. And it hurt. I either had to go her way or give up one of the two and just walk away. I said, I decided to stay with her. I'm going to go her way. I want to go with the Lord.
Amen.
Heaping coals. Dear ones, you can heap coals. It's goodness.
Yeah.
It's goodness to throw the coals.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Matthew, the 6th chapter. How am I doing on time? Okay. You know, I read some of the old books, talked to some of the old ministers. My first pastor was, he was ancient the first time I met him. And he was a boy and grew up in this movement and told me some of the stories that he seen firsthand. He used to tell me how the ministers would come and take the pulpit. And they'd get up and preach 3-4 hours. And they'd sit down, another minister get up behind him, preach another 3 or 4 hours. Do we have that in us? Lord, I don't know. Lord, I don't know. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want to begin at the 6th verse. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, I don't know how anybody else prays. I just know how I pray. And when I talk to God, I talk to Him like He's a man standing next to me. I don't know how to do it any other way. And I have learned that He's there. I told my wife last night before we had prayer together, I said, you know, I said, honey, I've learned something. Every morning when I get up now, the first thing I want to do is say, God, here's my day. I'm going to try to get this accomplished, and I need your help. I don't even want to try that. Lord, would you be with me? Would you help me? And you know He always does. He always does. He's my partner. He's my friend. And every time I call on Him, He's there. You know what I've learned? He's just waiting for you and you and me to call His name. He's just waiting. And we call His name. And He says, here I am, child. What do you need? And you can lay it out to Him. He said, Lord, this is what I need. And it could be the simplest things. You know, what's simple for me may be hard for you. What's easy for you, I may not be able to accomplish. But the Lord is able.
Yes, yes,
He can work it out.
Amen.
And make it happen.
Amen.
Do we know Him like that? Are we that close? Lord, help us. Thank you. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
Yes.
After this manner therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Well, let me ask you, how is it in heaven? Do any of us know how it is in heaven? I've never been there. But I believe it's a holy place.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any contention or strife there.
No.
And I want it to be the same way here. That's how we pray. Lord, I want that heaven. We've heard in this meeting, we get a little heaven here, don't we? I like a little bit more heaven here. Our Father which art in heaven. In earth as it is in heaven. We can pray that prayer, can't we? And when we pray it, can we expect an answer? Eleventh verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Coming right down to necessities. This day, you know, some of the missionaries that go over into the foreign lands, I marvel to see when they talk about how they live. And it gives me, I see a picture of the poverty and all that they go through. Do they pray every day for their bread? And it's telling you and I, as well as them, to pray for it. It can be cut off at any time. It's the goodness of God that it keeps coming our way. And we need to be thankful. I remember reading some time back that the worst thing that you can tell a man is that he's unthankful. And I thought, whoa. The lowest you can bring a man is to tell him he's unthankful. Because an unthankful man is giving nothing and no credit to God. Are we thankful for all that we have and the blessings that we received? We have so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Yeah.
12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours trespasses. Do you ever stop and think, am I holding anybody for anything? Do I have anything in my mind or heart that I'm holding something for? Maybe a word spoken out wrongly, or maybe a little hurt here. Is there anything that I'm holding? Dear ones, it could hinder. It could hinder your prayers. It could hinder your walk. It could hinder your victory. Take care of it. Isn't that what this prayer is? This is what Jesus is teaching us right here. Forgive me, Lord, for holding it. Now, I want to forgive them too. And if I need to go to them and get it straightened out, then, you know, I'm not saying anybody is guilty of this. But if you see or you hear, you have a responsibility. Rather than let it fester in your heart or mind, go to that one. I need to talk. I got a question. I want to make sure that there's nothing between me and you. Because I don't want nothing between my soul and my Savior. We can do that. And I find that most of the times things hurts and different things, it's all misunderstandings. All a misunderstanding. I've heard of feuds that went on for 15 years. Come to find out, it was a misunderstood word. One word. And that contention that went on for all those years, it could have been settled. And there could have been love flowing one to another. Lord, help us. What spirit are we of? What spirit are we of? John, the 10th chapter. Fifteenth verse. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. This Christ, the sheep, it's you and me. It's you and me. He laid down his life. He's our example. Lord, help us. 17th verse, 17, 18. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Do you want the Father to love you? Is He asking you and I to lay down our lives? Yes, He is. And as we go on, we'll get into some of that. He's asking us to lay down our lives as Christ laid down His. Not necessarily in that physical sense on the cross, but in a spiritual sense. And even in a physical sense also. Therefore doth my Father love me. I want to be loved. Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. That scripture that says, I may even have it down here, I don't know, but the scripture that says, he that saveth his life shall lose it, and he that loses life for my sake shall find it. I heard Brother Leslie Busby, I hate to use a minister's name, but I believe it, okay. He gave us a definition of what that is. And it comes down to the fact, are you willing to die? Are you willing to die for this gospel? Are you willing to die for your convictions? Even when you got on a bed of affliction and you're nigh to death and you say, Lord, I'll trust you because the Word of God says for me to trust you in all things. I'm going to tell you a story about a man I met. He's the realtor that sold our place. Some of you met him. His name is Dave Wall. He came here. And he had never heard divine healing, of divine healing as we teach it and practice it. And we shared that with him, and he got sick. He got sick that he didn't know if he was going to live or die. I've been hearing from him. He'd call me every couple of days. Brother Rich, what do you think about this scripture, that scripture? He'd call up and come over and ask my wife and I to sit down and talk to him and share the scriptures with him. And so we did, and he decided that he was going to trust the Lord no matter what. And he got on his deathbed, and he thought he was dying. He was there. I didn't get a call for him for over a week. Finally, I got a call, and I said, David, where have you been? He said, I've been sick. He said, I thought I was going to die. I was so bad I couldn't get up. I was that weak. I thought, and I had no one. He was alone. And I didn't have anybody. I said, why didn't you call? Call. I said, the Bible says, call for the elders of the church and anoint him with oil and a prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, he said, I didn't know that either. He'd been a Bible follower and studier. He even had a ministry. Preached in a lot of different churches. And yet he didn't know the understanding of the scripture. You know something? The devil blind the eyes, won't he?
Yes,
blind the ears. Plug the ears, blind the eyes. He said, Brother Richard, I didn't know. I didn't know. I said, well, how are you now? He said, oh. He said, I got on that couch, he said, and I was dying. And I said, Lord, you're either going to heal me or I'm going to die. But I am not going to stop trusting you. I've never done this before. I've never been here before, but the riches told me the scriptures and it rang true with my heart. And now, Lord, I'm going to trust you, live or die. Now, I don't take no credit for that. My wife doesn't either. It was the Word of God. I said, well, how are you, David? He said, I'm ashamed. I said, you're ashamed. He said, I am so ashamed. He said, all these years I could have been trusting God. And I didn't know how. He's healed me. He raised me up. He healed me. And I know what divine healing is now. And I could have had it all these years. You want to save your life? You'll lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life, you can save it. All right, I was in 10. I read 17 and 18. Let's go to the 15th chapter. And the 13th verse. And the 13th verse. It says, greater love hath no man than that man lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to lay down your life for your friends? It's asking you to lay down your life for your friends, and you aren't even willing to give up the world. A little harsh? I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to hurt anybody, but I want you to understand something. When it talks about giving up your life, it means it's not about you anymore, it's about Him. Lord, anything that will glorify my God, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to do. And if it means giving up the world, I'll give it up. I'll die to the world. Greater love hath no man. This is as great as it gets. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Be an example of the believers. Be an example. Playing church, it's over. We get into these scriptures and playing church is over. It's calling for too much. Lord, I can't do this without you. But with the Lord, we can do all that He commands us. Are we willing to lay down our life? Where does it start? First John, the 3rd chapter. And the 16th verse. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The word ought in this prayer, in this scripture. What does the word ought mean? The word ought. Is it a word of you can or cannot? Is it optional? That's the word I want to use. Is the word ought here, does it mean optional? What does it mean? It means duty bound. You're duty bound to lay down your life. Can we lay down our life? Lord, help us. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 31st verse. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Are you in jeopardy? Because you're not living to the Word of God? Lord, help us. We put our souls in jeopardy. Dear ones, just recently I've learned something that has become so important to me. I don't know if I can get this through. But we all have a testimony, don't we?
Yeah.
Do we want a testimony for God?
Yeah.
What's it going to take to have a testimony that's righteous and holy, without spot and without blemish? A testimony that he trusted, she trusted in God, right up until the end. That's quite a test. I'd like to have that on my tombstone. He was a friend of God. Or God was a friend of his. And he trusted in God until his last breath. We're building a testimony. Today, we're building on our testimony. We want a testimony that's clean and it's clear. Is that what I said? Did I read 15 and 13? There you go. Okay, thank you. And why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? You know, dear ones, we're building this testimony. And when we know where were we supposed to be, what does it give us? What does it give us when we know that we're in the center of God's will and His blessings are upon us? What does it give us? Beside those blessings, what does it give us?
Protection,
yeah. Assurance, yeah. It gives us confidence. Every winner, you talk to any winner and they say it took confidence. I had confidence that I could do this, that I could accomplish this. Dear ones, as saints of God, we need to have confidence in the Lord. I'm persuaded.
Yes. Amen.
I'm persuaded He's able.
Amen.
And then 31 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. It's Paul, isn't it? Every day the subject of death was upon him. Wherever he went, they were looking to take his life. And yet he kept going, didn't he? He was willing to lay down his life for his friends. Are we? Back to my question, what spirit are we of? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. 34th verse. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Lord, help us to know you. To know you better than we've ever known you before. To have a greater love for you, for your word, for this work, for the people of God. I want a vision of the church, Lord, like I've never had it before. Would you open it to me? Would you just open up the heavens and let me see it, Lord? Just give me a glimpse. The Lord can do that. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew 11th chapter and the 12th verse. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What are we dealing with here? The violent take it by force. Dear ones, I've heard the three S's in this meeting. And I think the brother said, silence, sweetness, and keep stepping. But I have three S's. sin, Satan, and self. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for our souls. And we're battling against sin, Satan, and self. And which one do you find is the hardest to conquer? Self? Did I hear someone say self? I can witness with that. If I can just get the victory over myself, the others just seem to fall in line. Lord, help us. We are in a battle. The violent take it by force. Who's the violent? It's you and me. And how do we take it by force? We tell ourselves no more. I'm going this different way. I'm going with the Lord. And no matter how violent I have to be with myself, even to the point of death, is it worth life and death? Yes. Yes. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to give up this physical life because heaven is assured if I will. Lord, help us to learn how to be violent and say no to my flesh. Fifth chapter and the 27th verse. The radicalness of the teaching of Christ. Ye have heard that it has been said by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery and is with her already in his heart. The grace of God can keep us, can keep our minds, can keep our thoughts. Where do our thoughts come from? Where do our thoughts come from? We say, well, we have our own thoughts. But the devil can give us thoughts too. And so can the Lord. There's three different places that we get thoughts. I'll take the Lord's thoughts, but mine and the devil's? I don't want any of the devils. And I can rebuke them. I can draw nigh to the Lord and he'll draw to me. I'll resist the devil and he'll flee. You see, dear ones, you don't have to accept thoughts. If they're not of God, you can reject them. And if they're yours and they're not acceptable, you can reject them. We can have the victory over the thoughts of our mind. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's commandments, isn't it? He would not have given us if it wasn't possible. You see, that's things that a lot of our young people deal with. Well, thoughts. You can have victory over thoughts too. Let me go on a little bit here. 27. And if thy right eye, this is 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is proper for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is proper for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife. Well, stop right there. Thinking about this cutting off. Now we know that it doesn't mean to cut it off in a literal fashion. But it means that whatever you put your hand to, if it's unacceptable, draw your hand back. Yeah. And what you let your eyes look upon, if it's unacceptable, guard your eyes. Yeah. Yeah. Don't let them look at those things. Or your feet, where they take you. Or your ears and what they hear. Lord, help us. Amen. Does God got grace for us to be able to do that? Yes, He does. Amen. Yes, He does. Mark, turn with me. Mark, the 9th chapter. And the 41st verse. No, that's not what I want. No, but that's a good verse, isn't it? For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. No, I've got it written down wrong. That's okay. What's that? I thought I was in 9. Oh, is that what my problem is? Well, thank you very much. I need a lot of help. Remember I told you when I started I'm fallible? Very. Okay, Mark 9 and 41. No, I don't want there either. Let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 13th to the 17th verse. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on love, or charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace into your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, indeed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatsoever ye do. It's going to take a different spirit, isn't it? But dear ones, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. We've heard it in this meeting, haven't we? Lord, help us. What spirit are we of? What spirit are we of? I want to be of the Spirit of God. Amen. May the Lord help us. You pray for me.